Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Now, just from looking at social media, it seems like everybody had a pretty busy weekend for the most part. Abby, how was Porch Fest?
So fun. So I always feel like there's been something on this specific weekend to where I haven't been able to go to Porch Fest in Virginia Highland, which is basically this big outdoor music festival. But instead of it being like a big stage like you would see at Coachella or Bonnaroo, it's a bunch of like local cover bands who are performing in all these porches and all those cute little craftsman style houses and in the neighborhood. And my best friend from college is, we know a lot of people live in Atlanta, so she's seen these videos. She's like, oh my God, Porch Fest looks like so much fun. I want to go. So I'm like, okay, we will make it a thing. We will put it on the calendar the second the date comes out and we will go to Porch Fest this year. So she came down with her boyfriend. They stayed with me and we just had ourselves a weekend. I mean, we got up, we went to a brunch, and then we hit the ground running from like 11 a.m. on. So it was a little bit of a beatdown, but in the best type of way.
It looked really fun. I'm assuming like these families just hire bands or I'm curious how like you get a band to perform on your front porch. Like what? Like
is that money?
Well, I'm sure there's compensation.
I would think. I mean, I think one would be the compensation, and two, the fact that it's doing so well. It kind of gives you something back to do it because people are going to see you in your music.
I'll be honest with you. It looked like abandoned houses, like homes that maybe people weren't living in. Oh. Maybe they're like owned by Atlanta. I have no idea, but I was like, yeah, if you're giving up your porch for the weekend, you better be getting paid some big bucks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mo, what did you get into this weekend?
I did a lot. Friday, I went to a party for the Knicks game, which I know sports, you know, not a big deal to most. But to Knicks fans, the Knicks winning on Friday was the first time that that's happened in like 25, 26 years. So they haven't been to the Eastern Conference Finals in a long time. So this was a weekend that New Yorkers will probably never forget.
I was going to ask, for those who don't follow the NBA, where are the finals currently? Who's still in it? Basically,
so it's the finals before the finals, which okay. I believe is the semifinals, and yep. It's the Knicks versus the Pacers. The Knicks got past the Celtics, which absolutely never happens. So finally, the Knicks are one game away from the NBA Finals, and then on the other side, it's OKC versus the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Gotcha. And obviously, being from New York, you're a huge Knicks fan.
Huge Knicks fan. And like I said, we haven't had an opportunity to celebrate a win like this pretty much my whole life. It's felt like that. So that was a big deal on Friday. Saturday, I was actually supposed to go camping, which I spoke about with Mother Nature. I was supposed to live out of her van with her, my dude, and her girlfriend. But the weather was really bad, so we couldn't do it this weekend. We had to postpone it. But she came on the podcast, so we recorded the podcast on Saturday. I was pretty much working all day. And then Sunday, I got back into the boxing gym, which I've been kind of waiting for my gout to slow down so I can at least start hitting the heavy bag again. So that was fun. And that was pretty much it. That was my weekend.
All right, brace yourselves, because I don't want you to get so insanely jealous of my weekend. Was I hitting the golden spike at the Atlanta United game? No, that was Bert who did that. So if you saw the videos online, he crushed it. He did a really an amazing job. I traversed to Sevierville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Sevierville.
Which is right outside Pigeon Forge.
They got a Buc-ee's there.
Oh, dude, I passed multiple Buc-ee's there.
Literally.
Dude, I got a Buc-ee's t-shirt from Sevierville. I met a Burt Show listener who recognized me from the Burt Show in the Sevierville, Tennessee Buc-ee's.
Well, Tommy's an A-lister up there in the Sevierville, Tennessee.
Big facts.
You would have been proud, Tommy, because spotting the beaver, Buc-ee the beaver, on the giant billboards became a game with my son. So every time he saw Buc-ee, he'd scream Buc-ee in the car. Though we never stopped. We didn't go in. Sorry. But yeah, as soon as you get off on the exit to Sevierville, there is a ginormous Buc-ee's right there.
My best friend from college was driving up from Florida. And which one's the Buc-ee's that's south of here? Like right before you get to Atlanta?
Auburn?
Auburn?
Well, there's Calhoun, but I don't know which direction that is.
That's north, but the one that's south of here, so they stopped there, and they got to meet Bucky the Beaver. But here's the thing. It was a little blasphemous because she was like, look at this photo I got with the squirrel. And I was like, oh.
You can't be calling Bucky the Beaver a squirrel.
I know. Put some respect on his name.
We got off on that exit, saw the giant Buckies. We never stopped. Though I was intrigued about the giant wall of jerky, but we didn't stop. We didn't go in, Tommy. Sorry. But it was myself and my 4-year-old Jimmy and then our neighbor Haley and her 2-year-old Riley. And so it was just two moms doing the dang thing. Cassie had sent me this place called Diggin' Zone a while back. And it is a construction theme park. So it's a construction truck theme park. So that's the whole reason why we drove the 4.5 hours it took us to get there is to go to this construction truck theme park called Diggin' Zone.
Is it really just a construction zone and they're using free kid labor?
it's a literal theme park. Trust me, we pay the price to get in. It is a literal theme park. So Jimmy got to actually work an excavator and like dig dirt, and they have all these games, like they have excavator games that you can play, and then there's actual construction equipment that you can drive, like real construction equipment. So like we sat there and drove a roller that you use to like smooth out pavement. I think the skidder, which he also calls a bobcat, was our favorite. Then they also have like a tractor you can drive. It was like this kid and he and Riley were just in absolute heaven.
Time of his life, I bet.
Oh my God. We were there for 3 hours doing the dang thing. If you're ever in that neck of the woods and if you have a kid that loves construction equipment, Diggin' Zone is your jam.
That sounds like a long day. I had to drive 4.5 hours and then we was there 3 hours and had to drive back.
Oh, absolutely. No, we drove up Friday. We got a cabin. So okay. We hot tubbed it up Friday night. Then we got up Saturday and we did the Diggin' Zone. And then we came back and we took a little nap, a little respite. Then we had some more hot tub time and then we did s'mores.
Ooh.
And nice. Of course I brought activities for the cabin. And then Sunday, she and I looked at each other. We could check out at 10. We were out there at 9.
The Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
When you tune in to the Burt Show Facebook page and you see all the videos of us today, you're going to see some massive bags under my eyes because I was up until the wee hours of the morning watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives because I could not turn it off. I'm embarrassed at the person I become when I turn this show on because I hate it. I hate this show so much. I hate what it stands for. I don't hate the women on it. I would never say I hate people.
What does it stand for?
It stands for everything that's wrong in this world. It stands for women saying they're standing up for each other, but in reality, they all hate each other and they all just talk back. They talk the things they say about these women, and they say, oh, the purpose of mom talk, and mom talk is these videos that they post on TikTok where they all do their little butt shaking dances together to make thousands and thousands of dollars off these brand deals. And it goes into this show where they show off their Mormon faith, where they say they're super Mormon, but then they're like twerking in the club and like doing ketamine together and then cheating on their husband. It is so horrible. But I watch it and I can't. This show is so good because it is so bad. It is everything wrong in this world. It is women tearing each other down. It is relationships. It is that one relationship. You know how everyone has a friend and they're in that relationship that they should not be in, and mm-hmm. you're telling them to get out of this relationship and you're giving them all the resources in the world for them to get out of this relationship, and then they just simply go back to that person over and over and over again, and you just want to beat them over the head with a cardboard box being like, what are you doing with your life? And then they're like, I don't know, and then they're crying about it, and then you don't want to blame them because that's victim blaming, but then you feel so bad for them, and it is just emotionally exhausting, and I couldn't go to bed without knowing what happened. And so that is where I'm at today.
Was it worth staying up at the end?
I don't know, because they're so bad, Mo. They're terrible people that I'm like, I'm giving them all this money and all this attention, then I'm part of the problem to why this is going to have like 3 and 4 more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But in a different note from Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, if you haven't tuned in yet, Bill Belichick is a story that we have been keeping up with, because he is also in a relationship that we're like, what are you doing, Bill? Bill is dating a 24-year-old pageant queen. He is 73 years old. And there's been this ongoing story where people have noticed that she is like entrenched in his business life. And so much so that he did an interview with CBS a couple of weeks back, and she like shut down some interview questions like she was his PR rep. And it made it look like she was kind of controlling, and people are like, what is going on here? So he recently did some damage control on Good Morning America, where he cleared up his personal and professional relationship with his much younger girlfriend, Jordan.
What do you think about all the attention that your relationship has been getting?
Yeah, well, she's been terrific, you know, through the whole process, and she's been very helpful to me. She does the business things that don't relate to North Carolina mm-hmm. that come up in my life, so I can concentrate on football, and that's really what I want to do. You know, I acknowledged her in the book. She was very helpful on that with the tribute pages, and also given a perspective of the book from kind of a business side. You know, sometimes I get a little football technical, and so, you know, she did a good job of keeping me on balance there.
So what did Jordan mean to you?
Well, we have a good personal relationship, and, you know, I'm not talking about personal relationships, Michael. You know yeah. that.
Okay, I know that, Coach. But I'm saying, are you happy?
Yeah.
Hey, you look happy.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd see you doing yoga.
I think it's just because he's asking these questions that we're all thinking inside of our head. Like, what are you doing? Why are you? This is a 50-year age. What are you doing, Bill? You are one of the most successful men in professional football, and then maybe college football. What are you doing with this girl who seems like she is running your personal and professional life?
That's the thing. Like, when he's talking about her in the beginning, and I get that they don't want to talk about, like, the, you know, the personal aspect of it. They want to keep personal, blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, if you're going to be posting that like, you know, the yoga pics that you're posting on social media, you're going to have to expect those questions. You can't have it both ways. But the way he talks about her and in the business aspect of it, and I do know, like, there are couples that work together and they're in business together, et cetera. But this doesn't sound like they're working together. This sounds more like she's working for him, and she's a personal assistant, or she's a business manager, rather. It sounds like she's a business manager.
I couldn't disagree. I do wonder, right? I mean, because obviously the age gap, people can't get past the age gap for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I get that. And I do wonder, though, if in a hypothetical world, if the age gap wasn't there, would people see her as just a partner, as somebody who's holding him down?
I still find it very bizarre that a woman that I don't think he's been dating a year is now so enmeshed in his professional life. To me, that is actually probably the more concerning thing. Like, obviously the age gap thing is weird, although it does kind of seem like she's wearing the pants in this relationship. To me, if you're dating someone for, and let's say it's 9 months, and they're already running your entire business, that to me says that maybe you don't have the proper boundaries, and that should be concerning, especially for someone of his age.
And maybe it's like, and I'm not trying to come down on Gen Z, because I know it's hard out there to get a job, et cetera. But if you're a man in your 70s, are you hiring a 24-year-old business manager? Are you going to hire somebody that has a little more of a resume to handle your stuff?
I kind of see both sides of it, because I think the experience you have would want experience in that position. But I also could see how you would feel like maybe she keeps you close to what's going on in the world, because that is around the age where, you know, like social media and those things, like she would know that better than him. So I could kind of see both sides of it.
All I'm saying is, when I get fired from this job and you see me going to work for another NFL head coach who's in his 60s, y'all look the other way.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my business.
Justin Bieber's rep put out a statement responding to rumors that he was a victim of Diddy's abuse. It's going to be on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
The most ironic twist of a story in internet history. I thought this was fascinating and a beautiful example of no good deed goes unpunished. So back in the early 90s, 1993 to be exact, there was a guy named Gary Creeman who had this idea to create a website called Match.com. And at that time, he was looking for love, and he felt like it was pretty much impossible online. And he felt like women were overwhelmed with how many men were online. And he wanted to create a situation where it would be a little easier, not only to match people, but for women to be able to focus more on the men that they like, as opposed to all of the men that were bothering him. So he came up with this idea to create Match.com. He took out $2,500 of his credit and he bought the site. And then eventually the site led at that point to become pretty popular at that time. And it was 1,000 people. That's how it all started. And that's when he knew he kind of had something. And eventually it had more than 100,000 users. And obviously today it has over 39 million. But at that time, before he got to this point, he had a girlfriend and he was wherever he was working. He asked his friends and his girlfriend and his coworkers to try it out to get it started so that they can see what the site would be like. And it was really good. It was so good, in fact, that a lot of his coworkers found matches immediately. And that's when he knew he had something. But it wasn't only his coworkers that found a match. It was also his girlfriend. His girlfriend, after he asked her to help him out by going on there for a trial use, actually found a man and left him.
No.
So wait, he's asking her to use it to see if she can, like, you know, troubleshoot, blah, 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 whatever. And in the process, she finds somebody else.
She found somebody else and legit left him this man.
That is dubious.
Right. And so obviously he was devastated at the time, but he continued with his plan of trying to make Match.com work. And eventually it worked out better for him, best for him, because obviously Match.com became such a huge success. And on top of that, he did end up meeting someone else who he is now married to and has two kids with. But it didn't go without the fact that he had to be lonely for a little bit, because his girl, he created a match site where his girlfriend found him, left him for another match.
Did he meet his new, like, the woman he ended up marrying? Did he end up meeting her via Match.com? Because that's the way, I mean, that's the best, advertisement for your website.
Absolutely. He did. Yeah. He did. He ended up meeting the woman that he's married to now with the two kids years after. It still took years for him to keep building it. But that was what he said was a part of building the site, was he needed the site. Like, that's what made it what it is today, because he had always had this mission to fix things that he couldn't understand. And he couldn't understand why dating was so hard. And then I think he was even more motivated at the fact that his girlfriend left him, so he wanted to find someone new. So in him trying to build a site for him to meet someone else, he ended up inventing a product that has now helped millions of people find someone else.
If I knew Match.com had such a high return rate, I would have been on there months ago, years ago. I would have been swiping on all these Bumble and Hinge dates.
All right, so remind us again, how many people, how many subscribers are there to Match.com looking for love?
39 million.
39 million. Okay, so take that into account, because I was curious how much Gary is worth, the founder of Match.com. How much do you think Gary is worth?
There's 39 million users, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say it takes maybe like a dollar or two to join Match.com. I'm going to say
more than that.
Let me say 500 million.
Okay.
I'll say a little less, but I don't think Abby's way off. I'd say about 100, 150 million.
I was shocked by this. And I'm going to use the word only here, but this is still a lot of money. According to the AI overview on Google, 20 million.
Only 20 really? Million?
That's what I thought. I'm like, if you got mad, if you create, yes. It says,
maybe he forgot to cancel a subscription.
Gary Kremen, the founder of Match.com, is estimated to have a net worth of over 20 million. In 2007, he estimated his net worth to be around 10 million, but it has stated he has continued to work hard and hasn't stopped his pursuit of financial success. But yeah, I figure the person who invented
something, right?
We sold,
because it's been successful since 93, and it's a premium subscription started in 1998 for bronze level and go up to $239.98 for a platinum level, and all, and 39 million users. Something ain't right.
I can't read the article because I have to pay.
Wonder what subscription his ex-girlfriend got.
Yeah, right.
The cheater subscription.
Let's see. It says here, I found an article from Business Insider, though I can't read all of it. It said he walked away with just 50,000 when he departed Match, a site that is on track to earn over $450 million in revenue in 2011.
Oh, so he walked away.
I think he did.
Oh, that man did
something.
That
was foolish.
Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure, because again, I can't read the article because Business Insider wants me to spend a dollar and I'm not going to do that. But it makes me wonder. Yeah, because I just figured, you know, and 20 million is nothing to scoff at. Don't get me wrong.
Good life.
But it makes.
Not for what that company has had to have made over these years.
Right?
That's insane. Abby, how much would you be willing to pay for a subscription?
Not $20.
That's too much.
Unless it was like a guarantee, which with 39 million users, maybe the odds are a little bit higher than Tinder.
Maybe you got to pay. I don't know.
All right. I'm
like, now
I'm
on
Wikipedia, and now I'm doing like this weird deep dive into this guy named Gary.
You know what? Here's a thought. People who are serious about finding a relationship are going to pay. The ones who are looking for just a good time fling are on the free apps.
That's true.
So it might be worth seeing if maybe you'll have more luck on Match.com.
Yeah, if I'm looking for someone in their 60s.
Hey, he's worth $20 million, dude. And look at Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
The Burt Show.
What are you supposed to do when the bridezilla is your own family member? Like, do you just suck it up and try to give her everything she wants for her big day? Or do you have to set her straight? Katie, you're in this position right now.
I'm about to snap, dog.
I can't tell by the look on your face.
I'm stressed. So my aunt's special day is coming up next month, and I'm so happy for her. She's been waiting over 30 years for this moment, and that would be her retirement.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so she's not a bridezilla.
Nope.
She's a retirezilla.
Yep.
Okay.
So
I was about to say, if I was waiting 30 years for a wedding too, I would also be a bridezilla. It's my day!
No, so my aunt loves her career more than anything. And she's retiring from the Army after over 33 years of service.
Thank you very much for your service, ma'am.
Congrats.
And so for this, I thought it was just going to be a simple party. Like, hey, let's just get some people together and we'll just, you know, fly up and celebrate her day. But no, it's turned into an event where it feels like a wedding. And it started off where she hit me up. Hey, Katie, can you help me make a save the date where I can let everybody know what's going on? And I was like, okay, cool. Quick save the date. Simple. Then she's like, all right, let's do the official invitations. I'm like, all right.
So she's got you like on Evite or Postmates or something, sending stuff out.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's simple. That's easy stuff. But then we go back and forth. She's like, no, I want the invitation to look like this. I'm like, okay, calm down. I'm not a graphic designer, but whatever. So that happens. And then after we send out the invite, she's like, oh, by the way, you are going to be the person of contact for the RSVPs. And I'm like, I don't know these people, but okay. So now there's a long list. And she's like, you got to make sure every day that you monitor it because there's two events. There's the ceremony and then there's the after party, right? So I'm like, okay, all right, fine. But then they start coming in. And then every day now she's been calling. She's been texting nonstop. I hear from her multiple times a day. And she's like, did you see this RSVP? Did you see this? Should I get a wooden dance floor or should I just leave it carpet? The DJ is going to be set up in this corner. Food is going to be over here. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? By the way, can you find me an outfit? And I'm like, what? How did I just turn into your official planner, your official stylist? I'm everything now. And she is nonstop going hard over this because she wants this to be like the perfect party.
Aww.
And I'm just like, it's too much. There's already the fact that it's already two events. It's not like wrapped up into one. There's literally a ceremony and then everyone takes a break for a couple hours and then there's a celebration party. She booked a DJ.
Okay.
She's like, the DJ has.
She did that for you.
No. No.
There's more.
The DJ has not responded back to her demands. So now she's like, Katie, you might have to be the DJ too. I'm like, I can't do it all.
So she booked a DJ, but she's been making requests of the DJ. Now the DJ's no longer responding to her.
Yes. And she doesn't think that she can find another DJ within such a short amount of time because this is in like 4 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So now she's like, hey,
folks calling Katie. We'll have to hold it down.
DJ Oxcord Katie.
I don't know what military people want to listen to. Like, I have to keep it safe, but not too safe. I don't know.
They don't keep it safe. No, play taps or something.
Oh, no, let's not.
No. I don't know what that is.
No. That's what you play at a military funeral.
Oh, my God.
Talk about bringing the room to a screeching halt.
Oh, man, tell them how you really feel.
A little too much tequila. Maybe you might need it.
Let's remember all of our fallen comrades at my retirement party. Have you said anything to her? Or are you just like trying to give her the retirement party of her dreams?
So at first I was like, you know that I'm busy too. I have a lot of things going on. I can't help you with everything. She's like, I know. But when you get the chance, can you find me a red outfit that just when you get the chance? And I'm like, it's not just when I get the chance. You want me to do it and help you out. So it's, I don't know. It's hard saying no to her.
Because, I mean, obviously that's a huge accomplishment, like dedicating 30 years of service to the Army. And she's like, so this is your mom's sister. So she's like a second mom to you.
Yes.
Yeah. If you haven't said anything yet, if you haven't like stood up for yourself yet and like set clear boundaries yet,
you
have
in
fun.
It.
Yep.
You in it. Can you find somebody that can help you help her?
Yeah.
So
that's
you
an assistant.
I thought that her best friend would fill in as the quote unquote maid of honor in this situation, right? But no, not even her best friend. Her best friend has like done a little bit for the celebration part, but me doing the whole ceremony thing is that's what she wants me to focus on. Like, I guess she trusts me the most to do this. And I'm like, I want to help you. There's
30 years of service riding on this, Katie. Don't mess it up.
I got to make sure it's the perfect day.
You do.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, Jackson, you have a friend that just went through a scary experience with a man she thought was a friend, but his actions have everybody thinking differently.
Yeah, I have a friend that was put in a very, very uncomfortable situation, and it's kind of what the guy did afterwards that left everyone floored and everything during, but it's really, I'll explain. So this is a fringe friend group that I have. I hang out with them sometimes. I'm not particularly close to a lot of them. I just have like some mutual friends that sort of link us together. And so every once in a while I'll hang out with them. And so last weekend we had all gone out and we were all at a club having a great time doing our thing. Obviously it's super late. And so a bunch of us are ready to go home. And so it's time to leave. Right. And so a few other people wanted to keep the party going. And we're like, let's, you know, post game somewhere. Let's figure it out. And so I have a friend who has a condo here, but no longer lives in Atlanta. And for whatever reason, everyone just has free access to this place.
That's a bold move.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. It's definitely bold. So like pregames happen here and sometimes postgames happen here. And so I end up going home. So I'm hearing this after the fact. But there's a certain subset of people that are deciding to go and, you know, have a little bit of a postgame for themselves. So they head over to this other condo.
It's
right?
The after party.
It's the after party. Right. But it's really late. And so when it's all said and done, it's only about two of them that actually end up going there. It's one of my friends who's a girl and this other dude that's there, right? And they've been friends.
Oh, that's not an after party.
Yeah.
It's an after gathering.
Yeah. It's with maybe some implications that's neither here nor there. But the thing is, this girl is engaged, okay? So there's nothing suspicious that should be going on here. But I will say that at the club, this girl ended up losing her phone. And so they're both back there together. And this guy had partaken in some substances of choice throughout the evening. So he was very amped up this late in the evening.
Well, like some pixie sticks?
Yeah, exactly. And for whatever reason, he starts getting really like upset with her about the fact that she lost her phone at the club. Doesn't make any sense. It's kind of hard to, rationalize with somebody who's in this particular state of mind. And so, but she's in a very uncomfortable situation. She's a female. She's alone in this condo with this guy. Who's getting progressively more and more angry, a little bit rageful, and like almost yelling at her for being like dumb and losing her phone for this very stupid reason, mm-hmm. right? And she's feeling really, really uncomfortable. So she doesn't really quite know what to do because she's a little bit scared, but she knows that she obviously wants to go home, right? And so after like an hour of this,
oh my God,
I know. Finally, he starts to like calm down a little bit and she's like, I just want to go home. Right. And she's kind of between tears. She's really feeling not great during this. So he's like, okay, fine. I'll call you an Uber because you don't have your phone. Let's get out of here kind of thing. Right. So they both jump in the elevator to go down as the Uber gets there. And for whatever reason, this guy totally misreads every signal in the entire book and decides to go in for a kiss.
What an idiot. What? After he's just like rage yelled at her?
Yep. After all of the rage and all of the everything, and he decides that now's his chance to decide to make a move.
Yeah, because, you know, nothing turns a woman on like getting berated for an hour. No. Some people are into that. I got to show you a section in Barnes & Noble you might not like.
And so obviously she's like, what are you doing? This is like a crazy thing. And he's still like, it's not fully registering to him that he's making a terrible mistake here, right?
That's not shocking.
Right. And so she gets in the car and she goes home finally, right? And she goes home and she tells her fiance this entire story. And he's obviously not very happy with the actions that this guy did.
Heck yeah.
And then the next morning, what does this guy decide to do? He decides to bury himself even further. He takes a screenshot of the receipt for the Uber and sends it to her fiance and says, oh, by the way, you know, your fiance lost her phone last night and I called her an Uber. Would you mind Venmoing me for this?
Wow.
Dang. That's a...
Okay.
Does he have any recollection of how he treated her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious because you're about to get engaged to your lady friend. If you found out she had gone to a condo alone with another guy, how would that have sat with you?
Mm. I would have been okay with it, like, as long as, like, it was within the friend group. Obviously, like, if it's my friend group, I trust my friends enough for, like, this not to be, like, a huge issue. Especially it was supposed to be, like, this big after-party thing, but it ended up just being them two at the end of the day. I truly would not have been uncomfortable. Now, had this all gone down, I'd be very upset.
It sounds like they all went, like, they went back. She went back expecting more people to show up. And then people got in their cars and were like, I'm just going to go home instead.
That's exactly the case.
And then you show up and it's just you and everybody else decide, like, it sounds like she just got bailed on.
Exactly. And so she got put in this very uncomfortable position. And there's not a whole lot she could have done at that point. And because she was so scared, like, she didn't really know what to do with the entire thing. So, yeah, he's going on a terrible PR press tour right now, trying to smooth things out. And it's not going well either.
How did the boyfriend react? Did the boyfriend send the money?
No.
Absolutely not. Okay.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, and then surely the dude is not expecting to receive anything. Or has he been going around thinking that he is owed this money?
He thinks he's owed the money, and he still stands by the fact that he maybe didn't do anything wrong.
He hasn't been painted as the smartest guy in the room. So
he's not.
It all makes sense.
The Burt Show.
She wants to know if she's the a-hole for retaking bridesmaid photos without one particular bridesmaid. Now, the bridesmaid had a couple of infractions. One was definitely, and then there's one that she has absolutely no control over whatsoever. But I think this bride really thought that people were going to like have her back. Oh, but the comments on Reddit absolutely did not. But I wanted you guys to take in the whole story. Again, am I the a-hole for retaking bridesmaids' photos without one particular bridesmaid? I, 23-year-old female, got married 2 weeks ago to my 24-year-old male husband, and it was so great. I had 5 bridesmaids plus my maid of honor, but I'll just refer to all of them as bridesmaids. Between the ceremony and the reception, we took photos as you do. The problem started when it was time to take photos with my bridesmaids. One of my bridesmaids, 23-year-old female, and who I've been friends with since college, is super tall and has a muscular build. I'll call her N. N really stands out next to me and my other bridesmaids. She was also wearing a patterned dress when I specifically asked all my bridesmaids to wear solid colors. They got to pick their own dresses and just had to match the color I picked ahead of time. So between the dress and her build, Anne really stood out in the photos and was throwing them off. After the first round of pictures, we all gathered around the photographer to see what we had so far. And I swear everyone had the same thoughts simultaneously. Of course, nobody said anything because she's our friend and we wouldn't want to be rude. I would have just sucked it up, but N herself turned to me and said, I understand if you want to take some without me. She didn't seem sad or anything, and she was even laughing a little. So I told her I thought that was a good idea, and me and my other bridesmaids retook the photos without her. Fast forward to about an hour into the reception. N finds me and congratulates me and says something came up and she needs to leave early. So we say goodbye and that's it. So now it's been 2 weeks since my wedding and I haven't heard from N at all. But that's not strange since I've hardly heard from anyone since I know I'm on my honeymoon, LOL. The photographer sent me the finished photos yesterday and I posted my favorites on Facebook. I didn't include any with N since I was only posting like 30 of the absolute best ones.
Damn, should have named it out.
Pretty quickly after posting them, N messaged me saying how hurt she was that I didn't post any with her in them and that I took photos without her in the first place. I apologized, of course, and told her I would post the rest of the photos in a few days. I also reminded her that she was the one who suggested I take some without her. She called me a narcissist and selfish, and now she's not responding to me at all. I am so confused since she literally told me I could retake them without her. I also don't think it's such a crime for me to want my wedding photos to be perfect. My husband also agrees with me. Well, of course he does. They're newly married.
Smart man.
However, I can tell she's really hurt, and she's not the type to get worked up like this over nothing. Am I the a-hole?
Ooh. This is why, as somebody who is notoriously high maintenance and has a stick up her butt most days, it's one of those situations where, as a bride, you kind of have to look at the situation like, do I want to be seen as a B now or a B later? And I think by not being a B before the wedding, by doing some kind of like dress check, we ended up in a situation where it's like you had these expectations for your photos and now you're in this awkward situation because maybe you're a little loosey-goosey with the rules and homegirl and just showed up in a patterned dress looking like a clown or whatever. So it's tough. And I get where she's coming from because I would feel some type of way if my friend A did that, even though I would be running my wedding like the Navy. I would not be allowing any of that shenanigans. But yeah, you got to post at least one photo with your girl. Like, I think she's not wrong for feeling a certain way about the photos. Like, I get it. Like, they don't look good. They don't look how you envision them. Like, I think that's something to be disappointed about. But I do think it says something about you as a friend if you're just going to totally ignore the fact that she was at, even at your wedding, and not post a photo of her on Facebook.
Yeah, now, while I would have posted at least one photo with my friend just to do it, I completely understand not doing it. I don't think she did anything wrong, especially for the friend to laugh at it. And it's like you're admitting that you know what you're doing and you're aware of it and you just don't care. And then you can take the pictures without me. That would have been the green light for me to do exactly what I felt like I needed to do, which is X you out because you didn't have camaraderie with all of the other bridesmaids when you knew that you should have. So I don't think she did anything wrong.
You don't think she did anything wrong?
Uh-uh.
Oh, see, I'm in the total opposite camp. One of these comments was the one that I was like vibing with. She saw how she stood out and probably suggested taking some pics without her to make an excuse and lighten the mood. Such comments should always be met with, of course we're not. You're part of my wedding. Not actually taking new photos without her and then showing her these are the ones you prefer. So I think when they're looking at them, I think she said that to like, I think she said that, but I don't think she really wanted her to do that. And as the bride, if that's your friend, then you don't take pictures without one of your bridesmaids. And if you're that particular about the dress, then you should have had dress approval before anyone bought them. Like, I gave my friends free range. I'm like, here's the color. Find a dress that you are feel most beautiful in that suits your body type. Everybody sent me their dresses, and I gave them a thumbs up on every single dress.
Oh, maybe I'm confusing. Is that what she did? Did she give everybody the opportunity to kind of pick their own version of the dress?
Yes, but she wanted them solid colors. But
okay,
this one went with a pattern,
right,
and therefore threw off the vibe.
That's what I'm saying is, yes, like, I think in that situation, like, I get the socially acceptable thing to do would have been like, oh, no, like, of course, like, you know, stay in here. But at the same time, this is my wedding, bro. And I gave you one clear rule, like, wear a black dress, wear a gray dress, and you show up in a chevron. Absolutely not, my friend.
And somebody had also pointed out, you posted 30 photos and not even one had her in it.
Yeah.
Like,
that is
wild.
Yeah. I think this is one of the rare moments with AITA where it's everyone sucks here. ESH. The bride sucks. The bridesmaid sucks. Everyone played this badly. They're all a-holes.
I feel like Photoshop could have fixed the dress somehow. Like, I feel like spent a little extra money, you could have just gotten like the dress fixed somehow. And then, you know, then everybody wins. She gets to be in the photos and she looks like the rest of the crew.
No, this here, this was a resounding, she's the a-hole. Like,
which one?
Everybody. The bride.
The bride.
The bride.
Really?
This was, I mean, yeah, everybody. Because the main thing was, dang, you really are a rather S friend. You really told her that her quote unquote build doesn't match your aesthetic. People were very hyper fixated.
That part is crazy. I don't really understand that part.
The
dress part I get, though. It seemed like a pretty simple instruction to follow.
That I agree with, but, and then also leaving early, like leaving the wedding early is kind of suspect.
Well, maybe she felt uncomfortable because clearly her friend had felt some type of way about her standing next to her and not wearing the right dress. Like, I'm sure she was made to feel like an outcast and was like, I'll bounce.
That would make me cry.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. She left early because if I'm standing there and you're the one bridesmaid out and they're all retaking the photos without you in it, that's going to make me feel a certain way. And I'm probably going to leave early, too.
I would just feel like you wanted to stand out. And now you are.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Justin Bieber's team is responding to rumors that he was a victim of some of the shady stuff that was going down in these alleged freak-offs. Now, this is somewhat adult content, so I'm just going to kind of give you a heads up here, but I'm going to dance around it. But at this point, we kind of know what he's been accused of in terms of what went on behind closed doors with these freak-offs. And I believe it was Kim Porter, his ex, that made some allegations that there was an 18-year-old pop star involved in some of these situations. And a lot of people have associated these allegations with Justin Bieber. Now, I'm going to play you a clip from the Jimmy Kimmel Show where it's an interview with a young Justin Bieber. He's probably like 15 or 16 at the time. And he's sitting down next to Sean Diddy Combs. And they start talking about their relationship. And Diddy immediately puts him in his place by saying, "We don't talk about what goes on with big brother Sean Diddy Combs."
Right. Got me a Lamborghini.
That's nice.
I haven't gotten it yet, though.
Yeah, I know. When is that coming, that Lamborghini? We talked about this last time.
He had the Lamborghini for a day or two, and he had access to the house. And he knows better than to be talking about the things that he does with Big Brother Puff on national television.
So basically, a lot of people are saying this is kind of proof that, you know, he's kind of trying to put Justin Bieber in his place by talking about something as innocuous as a Lamborghini. But it kind of feels like there's almost an underlying message here of saying, like, we don't talk about what goes on with me, you know, to the general public. But now in a statement, Justin Bieber's representatives are clarifying to make sure that people know that he was not among any of these alleged victims from Diddy's freak-offs. They are urging the public to focus on those who have genuinely been affected, and basically just said that Justin Bieber had a relationship with Diddy's younger sons and that it has nothing to do with more the adult content in Diddy's world.
Yeah, when I hear that clip, I just hear like some good-natured ribbing. Like, I don't pick up on any undertones. I think hindsight's 20/20, and knowing what's going on and playing out in the court now, I think people want to, like, you can put that, you can read into it if you want to, but listening to that, it just sounds like they're joking.
Yeah, a lot of the Diddy interviews look a little different in the light. And there is a video of him and Justin Bieber like hanging out that I think is a little more, I guess, weird than that particular one with Jimmy Kimmel. But I mean, it's like you're kind of ribbing at things you don't really know. And I think Justin Bieber did have to say something, but I'm sure at the end of the day, he feels like a lot of other celebrities, like, I'd rather just my name be out of this.
Yeah, well, I think now kind of having the hindsight of what he's been accused of, a lot of people are looking at some of these clips with a different ear and a different eye. Sure. Like, I know it was maybe a year ago that there's this clip that went viral of Justin and Diddy, where Justin's like getting out of his car, he's saying hello to Diddy, and, you know, they're greeting each other. And then you can kind of see Diddy start patting him on the chest as if he's looking for a wire, because it's almost like he knew that maybe Justin would be working with authorities to maybe get some kind of evidence against him, because he knew that this court case was going to be coming around.
That was weird.
All right, Scarlett Johansson is finally getting revenge on SNL's Michael Che after he took a joke about her too far. It's coming up on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.